Okay, welcome back to another Throttle Up Radio show and podcast, and I'm your host, Captain Kevin Smith, and I am glad to be here, and thank you for listening in. We are in the midst of a rather important initiative as we look at the world that we live in, rather strange and bizarre world that we live in. We are in the midst of a ongoing discussion of the truth algorithm. But before we get into that, let me cover some administrative items right up front. We are on Red State Talk Radio's on the weekends. We are a weekend show, both Saturdays and Sundays, on the Justice or Encore channel. We are at 6 p.m. Eastern, and the Liberty or main channel, we are on at 7 p.m. Eastern. We also have a podcast available. You can find our podcast on throttleupradio.com as well as iTunes. Now, okay, so this is a kind of a big announcement that we're making here. The Truth Algorithm video, informational video, part one is in fact available. It's kind of a big deal. And I wanted to mention that, emphasize that. I'm going to be talking about it quite extensively. We do have that video up, available to view on our website. That's throttleupradio.com. You can go to throttleupradio.com. I'm talking to my audio engineer, and it's on the right-hand side is the of the main page, right? It's on the right-hand side that says the Truth Algorithm video, or the blog button, okay, or the blog button, okay. So it's on the main page and the blog button. So, okay, so it's a Truth Algorithm informational video. Another way of calling it is instructional video. It means the same thing. And it is part one. We are going to do a number of videos. This one is part one. It's kind of like the introduction to the Truth Algorithm. Now, you might be saying, okay, well, why do we need that? And I guess my response would be, why do we not need it? Don't we all think we need something like that to help us in this world of ours, where propaganda is being produced on an hourly, minute-by-minute basis, 24 hours a day. We are being bombarded with information that is actually not true. It is propaganda, and that's all it is. It is masquerading as the truth, but it is not true. So we can either be dead in the water, we can take no action whatsoever on by ourselves, or we can take control of our sovereign being and our minds, and we can insist that we be treated with dignity, and we are going to think for ourselves. Okay, if that's what you want to do, then you've come to the right place. If you want to think for yourselves, if you want to learn how to think critically, if you want to learn how to deal with information that may or may not be true, and to give it some kind of meaning in your lives when you are encountering something that claims to be true but is in fact not true. Are you dead in the water? Are you just completely defenseless? Is that a word? Defenseless? Or are you able to rise to the occasion and to confront those things that are not true, declare them to be not true, because you have an analytic process by which you can determine that. Now, why do we need an analytic process. Why can't we just wait until we get truthful information? And the short and long answer is that when we are being when we are living in a world in which information warfare is being waged, we cannot wait, because if information warfare is being waged, then information, viable information, is in fact being censored. Okay, so we can't wait. Are we defenseless? No, we're not. That's the whole point. Most people want you to think that you are defenseless, okay, when you are being bombarded with propaganda and there is no dissenting voices because they have been censored out of the mainstream. Then people want you to give up. Okay, we are not going to do that. We are not going to give up. There is lots and lots of things that we can do. I would say at the top of my list, and ought to be at the top of your list, is we're going to employ the truth algorithm. Now, you can say, what is that? If you're new to the show, you can go to the video on throttleupradio.com, our website, and you can find the video, and you can turn it on, play it. I would suggest that you play it more than once. It is a rather long video. It is an introduction to the subject. We tried to keep it under an hour, and I think we just about made that. I think it's about just short of an hour long. It's a little bit longer than we wanted it to be, but that's the best that we can do. Okay, there will be other videos to follow. We're working on the part two as we speak. Go to the video, play it a number of times, listen to it, try to comprehend it. The truth algorithm is our weapon of choice against propaganda. First and foremost, it is our weapon of choice. And that's what we need to understand. We do not have to buy into this stuff. We do not have to be helpless and hopeless. We can fight back. We can make up our own minds. If more and more people said, no, I'm not going to buy into your propaganda, it's just plain and simple propaganda, none of this stuff is really true, you want us to believe it's true, but it actually is not true, I'm not going to buy into that. And therefore, I am going to use the truth algorithm to determine analytically, and another term that we use frequently is algorithmically. It's kind of a big word, but it basically means that we think in terms of algorithms. The truth algorithm is a analytic and an algorithmic process by which we can assign a number to the value based upon whether or not this thing, object, occurrence, event is in fact true. To what extent do we believe it to be true? Okay, now, this is important to understand. Now we are going to be outside the box for a considerable period of time. Just spoiler alert, all right? We are going to be outside the box. We are going to venture into a world that is uncomfortable for many people. But that's okay, because that is what Throttle Up is all about anyway. It's critical thinking. It's outside the box thinking. It's big thinking. It's all about thinking, okay? We are going to be way outside the box here. The first thing I want to say is that when you find this video that explains in visual and audio terms exactly what the truth algorithm is, when you find that video, prepare yourself as well. So you want to have our Critical Thinking Essentials handbook with you. Okay, it's easy to get. You can buy it in hardcover. You can buy it as an ebook, Critical Thinking Essentials. That is the title. You probably want to have that with you as well. Okay. And so that would be a good foundation. The truth algorithm resides on the foundation that is created by knowledge of critical thinking. Okay. The truth algorithm does not exist in a vacuum. It exists as a continuum of knowledge that we acquire, and it sits on a knowledge base that we call critical thinking. It also sits on a base that we also refer to as wisdom. To start off, I want to emphasize on this show and others as well. I want to emphasize that we are in fact encountering something extremely unusual in this world. We are in fact encountering something that we call the big lies and the big liars. If you don't think you need to have the truth algorithm as your weapon of choice, then you need to think again, because we are now in a serious situation in which lies are being fostered upon us on an ongoing, continuous basis by the big liars. We have to be able to defeat that. We have to win this information warfare battle that we are encountering as we speak. Before we get into some of the audio clips, I want to read this for all of us as we begin this show. And that is this is a quote from our video. All right, the truth algorithm video part one. And the truth algorithm begins with a definition of what the truth is. So I wanted to read this because it's important for us going forward. The truth. Okay, the truth algorithm considers that which is objectively true. All right. The truth is an objective, identifiable construct that functions as a meaningful aspect of that which is real. The truth resides within a quantum field of reality in which corresponding and related elements of that which is true interact with one another to produce a neural network in which knowledge and wisdom emerge. Critical thinking helps us clarify that which is actual or true, without which we are left adrift in a sea of the unknown. Importantly, when encountering situations which can best be described as hostile to reason as a result of an ongoing information warfare campaign, a more robust weapon of choice is necessary. Such a weapon is the truth algorithm. Okay, the truth algorithm is our weapon. Armed with the truth algorithm, propaganda is not going to work on us. Okay, it simply is not. Okay, we're going to play this clip from Steve Hilton right now. He's going to point out something that is quite disturbing, really, because he's going to mention the extent by which people are lying to us, the extent to which we are being bombarded with lies on a continuous basis. It's really getting to the point where it is sickening. Okay, but we are going to fight back with the truth algorithm. But this is what we are faced with, in case you're wondering if there is something that needs to be done on your end. I think this clip from Steve Hilton is going to convince all of us that that we need to do something, and we need to do something now. So let's go ahead. I'm talking to my audio engineer. The title of, okay, she said, tell the folks the title. The title is "These Are the Big Liars," and it's a clip from recent clip from Steve Hilton.
The most interesting thing I saw this week, the New York Times commissioned a pair of focus groups, one with Democrats, one with Republicans, to find out their attitudes to the state of our democracy, January the 6th, all of that. And it turns out they were surprised by what the Democrats said, because it ran completely counter to the entire narrative that's been pushed for the last year by the New York Times, by all the rest of the establishment media, and by Democrat politicians. Here's what they said about the Capitol riot. And as you listen, remember, these are Democrat voters saying this. Quote, "It's an inevitable boiling point of flawed systems that were put into place and have only gotten worse over the years. The enemy is the system that needs either a complete makeover or severe reform in order to protect the livelihoods of the people, not the rich." Oh, not an attempted coup then, an insurrection. Here's another Democrat. Quote, "I think it was the frustration of the American people. People are fed up with politics telling you lies." We heard a lot about the big lie this week. But as that Democrat voter said, the reason so many Americans are frustrated and angry is because the people in charge just seem like a bunch of big liars. They lie shamelessly all the time. They lie about the pandemic. Fauci lying about the reckless experiments he commissioned that are at the most likely origin of the pandemic. The rest of the media may have moved on, but we will not rest until Fauci is held accountable for what he did. They lied about masks, telling us all to wear them when they knew cloth masks couldn't stop an airborne virus. They lied about lockdowns. They lied about social distancing, about testing, about the vaccines. And now they wonder why nobody trusts a word the public health experts say about anything. They told us that defunding and demoralizing the police wouldn't lead to higher crime. That was a lie. They lied about individual crimes, the evil SUV that murdered six people in that Christmas parade, Jussie Smollett, Kyle Rittenhouse, the Covington kid, anti-Asian hate portrayed as white supremacy even when carried out by black attackers. They lied. They continue to lie about Biden family corruption. In fact, they don't just lie, they censor the truth. They lie about the economy. They said spending trillions of dollars wouldn't fuel inflation. And now look, they said the supply chain crisis was just rich people worrying about their treadmills. They lie incessantly about their climate crisis. They pretend we can hit their carbon targets without natural gas and nuclear power. They endlessly push solar panels, wind farms, electric cars, when a recent report said electric cars, quote, will not significantly reduce carbon dioxide output, only shift its location. They lied about Russia, they lied about China, and of course they lied non-stop about their humiliating catastrophe in Afghanistan. On and on it goes, lie after lie after lie. And yes, these are lies. They're not mistakes or differences of opinion. They know the things they're saying are false, but they say them anyway. And the most destructive, divisive example paraded before us this week.
Are we going to be a nation that lives not by the light of the truth, but in the shadow of lies? Right now, in state after state, new laws are being written, not to protect the vote, but to deny it. Not only to suppress the vote, but to subvert it.
The shadow of lies. What he said is a lie. The changes he's talking about are designed to clean up the mess of the pandemic voting rules. In most cases, they actually make it easier to vote than before the pandemic. But Biden's lie gets to the heart of the entire cynical spectacle the Washington establishment put on for us this week. All of it had a partisan political purpose. Why are the Democrats, after an election in which more people voted than ever before in history, hysterically screaming hyped-up nonsense about our democracy being under attack, to try and justify their own efforts to rig elections in their favor with corrupt banana republic atrocities like ballot harvesting? Why did Liz Cheney say this to our friend Bret Baier?
What's the ultimate goal of the January 6th committee?
We have several goals. One is obviously the legislative purpose that I've mentioned, the extent to which there may be legislation or enhanced penalties, for example, that we need to look at to make sure this never happens again.
She knows what the congressional rules say, that there's no legitimacy to the January 6th committee unless it has a legislative purpose. But what potential legislation is she burbling on about? Of course, the whole thing is about stopping Trump by trying to prove he organized an insurrection. But I just read Michael Wolff's book about the election and its aftermath, hardly a pro-Trump account. It's absolutely clear, far from coordinating the riot, Trump was almost entirely focused on what was going on inside the Capitol, what Mike Pence would do. And even that was not exactly some evil genius scheme to overturn the election. Apparently, John Eastman, the lawyer who persuaded Trump that the vice president could send the votes back to the states, he didn't even believe in what he was saying himself. Obviously, the establishment are exploiting January the 6th to try and destroy Trump, his movement and his ideas. But who do they think wants to go back to the establishment GOP and its open borders, endless war, suck up to China, the rich get richer and American workers get screwed? Trump's populism is popular. It's why the Republican Party is becoming a multiracial working class coalition. And it's why we need to tell the truth to ourselves, too, that you're not going to win the next election by whining about the last one. Let the establishment obsess about all that. They look ridiculous. Now we're supposed to take the Cheneys seriously as the defenders of our democracy, the Cheneys? Liz, who inherited her seat in Congress like some pampered aristocrat. Dick, who sent other people's children to war on a lie. Wars that shoveled billions of dollars into the bank account of Halliburton, the defense contractor he used to run. The Cheneys have to be among the most corrupt, anti-democratic families in modern American history. But they're in good company with their new pals on the left. What nauseating hypocrisy from Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, and all the rest this week. What laughable, but also despicable, histrionics comparing the Capitol riot to Pearl Harbor and 9/11 from the exact same people who reveled in the destruction and mayhem of the summer riots in 2020. The truth is, only one of America's major parties today supports political violence, and that's the Democrats.
They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. Everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
Throwing it into the harbor?
People will do what they do.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
They only care about riots when it hits their place of work. These sanctimonious, self-righteous charlatans, Biden, Harris, Pelosi, who've never started a business or created a job in their corrupt lives. They couldn't give a crap about someone's small business being burnt to the ground. I don't remember their grandiose speeches honoring the dozens who lost their lives at the hands of the left-wing mob. Every decent American will look upon them with complete contempt. And so this is how we enter 2022, with a political establishment utterly mired in lies, hypocrisy, and incompetence. The pitiful symbol of it all, the bumbling fool in the White House.
There's a lot of reason to be hopeful in 2020. But for God's sake, please take advantage of what's available.
Just look at him. He looks half dead, slurring his words. Can't remember what year it is. Can we really put up with three more years of this? And on this point, there was actually some honesty on display this week, and amazingly enough, it came from a Democrat. Here's the head of a progressive political group, AOC's former communications director, talking about Biden. He's deeply unpopular. He's old as, well, it starts with S and ends in hit. He's largely been ineffective, and I think he'll probably get demolished in the midterms. And that's from a Democrat. You see, just as we saw at the start, many Democrats aren't buying the BS of their leaders. As that member of the New York Times focus group said, people have lost faith in the entire system. And they're right. You can't trust the politicians. You can't trust the bureaucrats. You can't trust the technocrats. You can't trust the experts. You can't trust the media. You certainly can't trust big tech. So in the face of all this, we come back to the idea that is at the heart of this show. Trust the people. Positive populism. Put power in people's hands. And they will use it wisely. That's the next revolution we need.
This is a let's say a call to arms. This is a primer. This is a mechanism by which we are pointing out the urgency of doing something to fight back against the big lies and the big liars. And we can use our power of reason. We can use critical thinking. We can use the truth algorithm as well to get us out of this quagmire of deception and into the light of what is real and what is true. Now, I'm going to point out a couple of things here that's not all that well understood. It is actually not particularly popular as well. All right, so and that's the what I would call the misconception about facts. Okay, if we have the right facts, we will understand what is actually going on, what has actually occurred, and so forth and so on. Okay, so that's those kinds of things make for a pretty good TV show. But in the real world, we're never going to be able to get there. That's sort of like idealistic. We are going to have to make some judgments. We're going to have to make some decisions. We're going to have to make some actions based upon our best understanding of what has occurred and what will occur in the near term. And the way we do that is we're going to use a mental process. We're going to use a theory. We're going to use a body of knowledge that is fairly well developed and has been used many, many times. Does not get a lot of attention or favorable press until recently. But what we're going to be looking at here is we're going to be looking at conditional probabilities. We're going to be looking at this whole area of operational risk management. We know certain things are not entirely safe, but we do them anyway because we have the ability, or at least we believe we have the ability, to manage risk. And the way we do that is that we can deal with uncertainty. We can deal with uncertainty. We can deal with things that are, excuse me, that are not particularly known, excuse me, completely known, but is something that we have to deal with. When we are dealing with a world in which information warfare is being waged, we cannot just sit around here and wait for the facts to come in, because they may actually never arrive. So we have to do something else. Okay, what is that? What is that is that we have to use what I call the analytics of uncertainty. We have to be able to employ an algorithmic process by which we can arrive at a conclusion or arrive at a belief that something is, in fact, likely to be true, is unlikely to be true, or actually is not true. We have to develop what's called the truth continuum. That's explained in the video. I would highly encourage all of us to go there and learn about it. But we have to be able to employ the truth continuum, as well as critical thinking, to help us get to the bottom of a particular issue and come to the realization that certain things are likely to be true and other things are not likely to be true. And that's where we begin our understanding of reality. Understand that reality sometimes does not come to us in a nice package with a nice ribbon tied around it. Sometimes reality comes to us and it is uncertain about what is actually going on. It's uncertain. And also, reality can be complex as well. Often it is. And remember the warning from J.W. Forster about that. He said that complex systems behave counterintuitively. That is, the plausible tends to be wrong. So we don't jump to conclusions here. We think critically, and we think carefully, and in many cases we use a truth algorithm to help us get to the bottom of what is actually real, what is actually going on. So the truth algorithm rests on the understanding that we can deal with things that are not completely known. They are not completely certain, okay? We can deal with this gray area that goes outside the boundaries of certitude. So, and that's the real world, by the way. The real world does reside often outside the boundaries of certitude. Can we make a reasonable, or can we develop a reasonable understanding of reality when we are outside the boundaries of certitude? And the answer is, yes, we can. Now, I do want to play another great audio clip, and that is, I'm talking to my audio engineer. That's one from the Academy of Ideas. How much time do I have left? Oh, yeah, let's do that first. Let's play the Malone audio first, okay? And that's, I think that's about 4 minutes. Is that right? All right, let's play the Malone audio first, and then we'll wind up with the Academy of Ideas. This is another example here of the urgency of us developing our skill sets with respect to critical thinking and utilizing the truth algorithm to fight back against this onslaught of propaganda. All right. Audio engineer is telling me to tell you the title. Okay, the title is Humanity is Facing a Bigger Problem and They Don't Realize It. This is from Dr. Robert Malone, who is the inventor of mRNA technology. Okay, here we go.
We as a society have become grossly fragmented through social media, electronic appliances, the stress of what we've experienced. And this leads into this whole issue of mass formation psychosis that Matthias Desmet at the University of Ghent has promoted. What happened in Germany in the 20s and 30s? You know, very intelligent, highly educated population, and they went barking mad. And how did that happen? The answer is mass formation psychosis. When you have a society that has become decoupled from each other and has free-floating anxiety and a sense that things don't make sense, we can't understand it, and then their attention gets focused by a leader or a series of events on one small point, just like hypnosis, they literally become hypnotized and can be led anywhere. And one of the aspects of that phenomena is the people that they identify as their leaders, the ones typically that come in and say, you have this pain and I can solve it for you. I and I alone, okay, can fix this problem for you. Okay, then they will lead, they will follow that person through, it doesn't matter whether they lie to them or whatever. The data are irrelevant. And furthermore, anybody who questions that narrative is to be immediately attacked. They are the other. This is central to mass formation psychosis. And this is what has happened. We had all those conditions. If you remember back before 2019, everybody was complaining, the world doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. And we're all isolated from each other. We're all on our little tools. We're not connected socially anymore, except through social media. And then this thing happened and everybody focused on it. That is how mass formation psychosis happens. And that is what's happened here. Now, there's ways to get out of it. Matthias' recommendation is you got to get people to realize that what we've got is a situation of global totalitarianism. In his experience in Europe, making people realize there's a bigger threat than the can cause a separation psychologically in this fusion, this hypnosis that has happened. The problem is, then you're just substituting a bigger boogeyman for the current one. And somebody else can come in and manipulate that. The real problem, and it gets back to your core point, we're sick as a society, and we have to heal ourselves. And one of the things we have to do is come together. We have to recreate our social bonds. We have to buy into integrity, the importance of human dignity, and the importance of community. That's how we get out of this. And I think that this insight of Matthias Desmet is really central to kind of making sense out of all of this crazy. We got a world in which the press is incentivized to push a storyline because they're all controlled by the same large funds. I don't know how we're going to get out of it, but it's got to start with us, all of us, finding common ground.
Okay, so this is a this is another example that I'm trying to use to promote the idea of the urgency of the moment. The urgency of the moment is that we have to do something. We cannot sit back any longer and allow the world to go by without taking some affirmative action in terms of protecting our right, asserting our right to be able to think for ourselves. And that is the urgent need right now, today, in this world. We do have resources to help us do that well. We have critical thinking resources that we talked about. We have the Truth Algorithm video that's now available. That is a resource. We can use that as well. We have resources. We do not have to just acquiesce and just give up, throw up our hands and say, well, these people are just bombarding me with lies. I don't believe a thing that they say, but there is nothing else that I can do. That is simply not true. Okay. We are going to play one more clip to emphasize the urgency of the moment. Okay, let's do that now. This is from the Academy of Ideas, and this is called The Big Lie, How to Enslave the World. Again, we're playing this to emphasize the urgency of the moment. This is now the time for all of us to take action. Okay, here we go.
And the lie has, in fact, led us so far away from a normal society that you cannot even orient yourself any longer. In its dense, gray fog, not even one pillar can be seen. Lying has always been used for political purposes. Lies cover up corruption, past mistakes, and hidden motives, and they are an essential ingredient in political campaigning. Sometimes, however, political lies take on a much more sinister form. The lies become all-encompassing, embrace all aspects of life, and infect every corner of society. This occurrence is a sign that totalitarianism may be rising, for as the political philosopher Hannah Arendt noted, totalitarianism, at its essence, is an attempt at transforming reality into fiction. It is the attempt of corrupt and pathological state actors to impose a fictional account of the world onto the entire population. In Nazi Germany, it was the idea of a superior race and an unclean people that formed the big lie. In the Soviet Union, it was the belief that state communism could work and that all could be made equal. And from the big lie trickled down a stream of endless little lies. Referring to communist Russia, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "In our country, the lie has become not just a moral category, but a pillar of the state." Describing Czechoslovakia under Soviet rule, Václav Havel similarly explained, "Life in the system is so thoroughly permeated with hypocrisy and lies. Because the regime is captive to its own lies, it must falsify everything. It falsifies the past, it falsifies the present, and it falsifies the future. It falsifies statistics." When a political system rests upon a bed of lies, what can be done to turn the tide back towards truth and freedom? In this video, drawing from the insights of Alexander Solzhenitsyn and Václav Havel, we are going to explore this question. The day before he was exiled from the Soviet Union, Alexander Solzhenitsyn published a short essay titled "Live Not by Lies," and in it he wrote, "We are approaching the brink. Already a universal spiritual demise is upon us. A physical one is about to flare up and engulf us and our children, while we continue to smile sheepishly and babble. But what can we do to stop it? We haven't the strength. But we can do everything, even if we comfort and lie to ourselves that this is not so. It is not they who are guilty of everything, but we ourselves, only we." When a state turns totalitarian, the individuals who live in these societies are not merely its victims. All the totalitarian regimes of the 20th century rose to power amidst thunderous applause, as many citizens openly called for the brutal control that defines this form of rule. Without mass support and compliance, the minority in the ruling class would be but paper tigers. The responsibility for the oppression, suffering, and loss of life that comes in the wake of totalitarianism, therefore, cannot be placed exclusively on politicians and bureaucrats. A large portion of responsibility must be placed on the citizens who support this form of rule, or else do nothing to resist. Václav Havel explains in his book, The Power of the Powerless, "There is obviously something in human beings which responds to this totalitarian system. Human beings are compelled to live within a lie, but they can be compelled to do so only because they are in fact capable of living in this way. Therefore, not only does the system alienate humanity, but at the same time, alienated humanity supports this system as its own involuntary master plan, as a degenerate image of its own degeneration, as a record of people's own failure as individuals. If the fuel for the growth of totalitarianism is weak and fearful individuals, then a cure is a personal revolution that takes place in hearts and minds and leads to an awakening of self-responsibility, courage, and strength. The best resistance to totalitarianism is simply to drive it out of our own souls, our own circumstances, our own land, to drive it out of contemporary humankind." Alexander Solzhenitsyn's writings played a major role in toppling the communist Soviet Empire, and he advised we engage in such a personal revolution by transforming our life in a way which targets the most vulnerable part of the totalitarian system, the lies upon which it is built. In Live Not by Lies, Solzhenitsyn explains, "And therein we find, neglected by us, the simplest, the most accessible key to our liberation, a personal non-participation in lies. Even if all is covered by lies, even if all is under their rule, let us resist in the smallest way. Let their rule hold, not through me." Václav Havel was a dissident in communist Czechoslovakia and he later became president, and he echoed Solzhenitsyn's sentiment that the most effective key to liberation from totalitarian rule is to commit to a non-participation in lies. Havel called this commitment living within the truth. If the main pillar of the totalitarian system is living a lie, then it is not surprising that the fundamental threat to it is living the truth. This is why the truth must be suppressed more severely than anything else. To engage in a non-participation in lies, or in Havel's terminology, to live within the truth, is to stop parroting the lies of the state and to refrain from acting in ways which conform to state propaganda. It is to resolve to live as freely and authentically as possible, to boldly express our individuality and spontaneity. Spontaneity, with its incalculability, wrote Hannah Arendt, is the greatest of all obstacles to total domination over man. It is to follow our conscience and place morality above unjust laws, to fearlessly pursue personal and communal values, and to give voice to our thoughts undeterred by ridicule. To live within the truth is to act in ways which promote a cultural reawakening, thus serving as a counterforce to the totalitarian system's course of march towards cultural stagnation, suffering, and death. Our way must be, never knowingly support lies. In communist Czechoslovakia, the Velvet Revolution, or nonviolent fall of totalitarianism, depended not so much upon political reform, but upon the existence of growing numbers of individuals who were willing to live within the truth, even when things were at their worst. They could equally have been poets, painters, musicians, or simply ordinary citizens who were able to maintain their human dignity. One thing, however, seems clear. The attempt at political reform was not the cause of society's reawakening, but rather the final outcome of that reawakening. As an example of how living within the truth can revitalize a society, Havel recounts the story of a rock band, the Plastic People of the Universe. In communist Czechoslovakia, musicians were required to register with authorities and were banned from creating music deemed too provocative or threatening to the political system. The Plastic People of the Universe refused to toe the line, and following a concert in 1976, they were arrested, and the ensuing trial gained enormous public interest. The state media branded the band members as drug addicts, mentally ill, extremists, and traitors to the country. However, many of the citizens had grown tired of living within a lie, and they supported the young musicians. And as Havel notes, in many respects, the trial marked the beginning of the end of totalitarianism in Czechoslovakia. Havel writes, "The Plastic People of the Universe were unknown young people who wanted no more than to be able to live within the truth, to play the music they enjoyed, and to live freely in dignity and partnership. They had been given every opportunity to adapt to the status quo, to accept the principles of living within a lie, and thus to enjoy life undisturbed by the authorities. Yet they decided on a different course. In some ways, the trial was the final straw. People came to realize that not standing up for the freedom of others meant surrendering one's own freedom." Along with demonstrating the real-world impact that can result from the actions of ordinary individuals who live within the truth, that a young rock band sparked a movement that toppled the totalitarian system in Czechoslovakia unveils an important but underappreciated characteristic of this type of political system. Despite appearances, it is by its nature weak, brittle, and in need of constant infusions of fear and lies in order to prevent it from collapsing. This weakness is why totalitarian regimes constantly slander and persecute anyone, even harmless musicians, who engage in even a modest attempt to live within the truth. For truth is the primary enemy of totalitarianism, as it erodes the foundation of lies upon which it is built. Havel explains, "The crust presented by the life of lies is made of strange stuff. As long as it seals off hermetically the entire society, it appears to be made of stone. But the moment someone breaks through in one place, when one person cries out, 'The emperor is naked,' when a single person breaks the rules of the totalitarian game, thus exposing it as a game, everything suddenly appears in another light, and the whole crust seems then to be made of a tissue, on the point of tearing and disintegrating uncontrollably." The brittleness of the totalitarian system is also why it is so important for as many people as possible to stop being servants to state lies. For just as our failure as individuals fuels the totalitarian system, So too, it is a renewed courage of individuals to live within the truth which weakens and eventually destroys it. Totalitarian systems condition their citizens to believe that the individual is powerless to effectuate social and political change. But history has repeatedly shown otherwise, and as Solzhenitsyn notes, one man who stopped lying could bring down a tyranny. What we choose to say and how we decide to act influences not just the state of our character, but the state of society. And when living in the midst of totalitarian rule, the fundamental choice to make is whether we are going to stand on the side of truth and freedom, or on the side of lies and malevolent authority. For those who choose the latter, whether out of fear, apathy, or merely to take the path of least resistance, Solzhenitsyn had the following to say. Let him not brag of his progressive views, boast of his status as an academician or a recognized artist, a distinguished citizen or general. Let him say to himself plainly, I am cattle, I am a coward, I seek only warmth and to eat my fill.
What I wanted to do was, in the concluding minutes here, I wanted to stress the urgency of the moment. This is the time for us to take action, to take control of our thinking resources, to think for ourselves, to determine by ourselves, utilizing the resources that we have available to us that helps us think critically and helps us uncover what is true and what is not true. In other words, the truth versus the lie. Understand that the big lie is all around us and the big liars are legion, but we can fight back as this thing from the Academy of Ideas points out, we can fight back. It is rather easy to do. All we have to do is say, no, I'm not going to buy into this. I'm going to use my own resources and come up to my own conclusions regarding this thing or that thing. And by the way, you can't fool me because I am a critical thinker and I am armed with the truth algorithm. Another show. We will see you all next week.